welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Standing for prayer. And if you can put a little bit more dBs on the microphone, that will help. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our High Priest. And in this first Sunday of September, we are glad to be here in the house of the living God. We are glad to be here to worship you, to learn from you, and then to go out into the marketplace with the hope and the joy and the love and the presence of a living God. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible, who gave us the curriculum where we teach and learn and base our life. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the Bible, which the Apostle Paul told Timothy, read the scripture, which will make you able to be saved. And we believe that, Father, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the living God. Lord, we also believe in spreading the gospel around the world, and we are glad to have missionaries places in many places. Fred, Lord, we are thankful for his slow recovery, but we are thankful for him now in his rented house. We are thankful that the mission reinstalled his salary so that he can stay there until the body recovery. Father, for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez, who are in Malaga, David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala City, Marta Poretti in Buenos Aires, in that beautiful place where Martha trying to share with them the power of God with people who have been shut down by drugs and different things. And I have been there, and I have talked to them personally, and I know what the dramatic moments they live in their life. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and for Daniel and Miriam Lacey and the Motorsport Ministries at Danny Today in Canada. So, Father, bless these people who are a part of our church, the extension of our church, and bless our internet ministry. And Father, this week I receive a connection with Brazil, and people in Sao Paulo are listening to our broadcast, we greet them and we pray for them that they may get closer to the Word of God. And for those who listen across the country and in other countries, Lord, bless them with power to understand Thy Word and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are in turmoil and in crisis in America for what happened in the South. And our heart bleeds and cry when we see the situations that looks that there is no hope. But Father, bless the engineers and the Army and Navy of the United States to have the wisdom and the energy and the means whereby to provide for those cities. Lord, those people need to start and rebuild their life again. There are thousands of bodies under the water. And Father, we pray that soon the engineers will find a way to restore the levees and to back up the level of the water so they slide out as is in theory and books. And so, Father, they could be done. And so, Father, we pray you bless the mighty fortress of the United States to work over there. But, Father, above all, we want to thank you for mercy because it could be worse, could be devastated, could be many states. And Father, make this situation, make us to think what we do with our life and how do we worship you and how do we care for you. Because one move from you and we are gone. And so Father, help us. This country has been in defiance of you. This country has challenged you on the marriage issue. This country has challenged you on abortion. This country has challenged you to take your name, oh Father, out of the city hall and out of every place. And so, Father, we cry for mercy. We don't make anybody guilty. We're all guilty. So, Father, we cry for mercy that in our life we may have godliness and that in our life we may have respect of a mighty God. Otherwise, we will see your finger from time to time and stuff. Father, bless us as we proceed in the service. Thank you for the offerings and for the care of the ministry. Thank you for the giving of your people. And so, Father, we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giving. In Jesus we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 345. We will be reading Psalm 4, verses 1 through 8. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 4, all verses. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. You have blessed us beyond measure through him. Without you, we are nothing and could do nothing, but we know that we are safe in your hands. You, Lord, are our exceeding great reward. We love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes now to faithfully expose your written word, that you would bless him in that and bless us with understanding and attentiveness. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD also, and especially for those who do not know you. We pray that they may come to saving faith in Jesus Christ and rejoice in your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And before we meditate upon God's word, I would like you to know that their celebration and dinner and so on has been postponed to October 9. No longer October the 2nd, but October 9. And Pastor Van Dyken has been informed, and he is willing to come for that special day. If you turn your Bible to Psalm 4, we will advance again in the studies on the book of Psalms that's so real to us, that speaks really to each one of us. In Psalm 1, we have the moral fiber of humanity. Those who believe in God behave in this way, and those who believe not in God believe in this other way. A diagnosis of yourself and myself in Psalm 1. In Psalm 2, we have the liability of life. Who do you hear as a counselor in your life? The newspaper? The American media? A philosopher? Or God? Remarkable psalm. Then Psalm 3 talks about the trials of life, and we study that last Sunday. Today, we're going to rejoice because the psalm guides itself as a psalm of prayer. If you look in verse 1, David said, "Hear me when I call." I like to make an issue on the word call is the word pray. Hear me when I pray. It's written in a verb which is a higher level of calling. Is in Hebrew, when you pray, you are absolutely out of the world and concentrated in God, and you speak aloud. You remember that Jesus criticized the Pharisees because they pray aloud. Well, there is no other way to pray in Hebrew than to pray aloud, so that you hear nothing around you. You are concentrated in God. And David is saying, "Hear me, O God, when I pray." Now, David is in, just to give you a background of the psalm, David is in temporary exile, and he remembered the music and the worship of the temple. And so he writes this prayer loaded with faith, because he writes this prayer with the choir leader and music director in mind. If you look in your Bible, they said to the chief musician on Nehinot. That's the place where they play on the top of the temple. And this is part of the original. David is in exile. He is running for his life. His kingdom is in the hands of Absalom. And you will see in a minute, the Abihail takes care of the army now, and no Joab. And he's completely out of business, but he's not out of business with God. You can run me out and you can run me on the field, but I will concentrate in God. And then he said, this psalm is to be played on the temple by this musician under this altar, the Nehinot, which is on the top altar. That's what the Catholic Church got, the top altar, this low altar, and the middle altar. There were three altars in the temple of God. Now, to accomplish this, he prays in faith, and he employed three aspects of prayer in approaching the throne of God. And it's very simple. Notice in verse 1 the basis of his request. On what basis did you pray to God? The basis of his request is in verse 1. Then in verses 2 to 6, the boldness in his request. He doesn't pray, well, God, if you think, you know, he knows God. When you know God, you don't have to doubt about it. When you know God, you don't pray like a chicken. You know, right? You pray like a dog. You know, God, this is what I want. The boldness of his request. And then the binding of his request. He's glued to God. And those verses 7 and 8 tells you of the beauty of this man. David was a man in love with God. Yes, he did have a lot of women. But that was not, put that aside, his heart was in love with God. He was passionately loved in God. And there is no better place to exhibit that in this Psalm 4, where he is running, and as I'm going to show you parallel passages from the book of Samuel, that he's running for his life, but he never left his focus in God. No wonder when he restored the temple to 100-fold, that means he gave of his riches 100 values time his riches to the temple when he was restored. So let's work together, all right, and learn how to pray. What I want you to do this morning is to learn how to pray. I don't want you to be a theologian. I don't want you to be an analytic mind and see what the theology is. I want you to go home and learn how to pray. Because my grandma, who was Arabic, she taught me how to pray. And I tell you, my strength is prayer. Prayer. All right, number one. The basis for his request, verse 1. Look at what he said. Hear me when I call, O God. Very important here. Here is a yod of my righteousness. Do you got it? He don't say, oh God. I hear people prayers. I listen to people pray in the radio. Say, oh God, righteous God. This guy doesn't pray that way. He's a God of mine. Righteousness. He prayed about the righteousness of God. Wait a minute. On what rights, David, do you say God is your righteousness? Because if you move your Bible to Romans chapter 3, verse 10, page 663, Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, page 663, you get the news from God. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no one. That means righteous means justified before God, acquitted before God. And he prayed, God of my righteousness. He knows that he cannot be justified before God on his own merits. So he brings God into his life and he said, God, you are your self-justification, and you justify me. Now, how we do that today? Do you repeat 5 prayers and you are justified? Do you raise your hand and you are justified? Do you walk around the building 7 times like Joshua and you are justified? How do you can say, God of my righteousness? Well, there is a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, page 671. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 30, page 671. Paul said this, but of him, talking about Jesus, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Jesus was made unto us wisdom and what? Righteousness. See, without Jesus Christ, you cannot say, oh God of my righteousness, you're guilty. Without Jesus Christ, you are guilty. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what race you are. Doesn't matter who is your father and mother. Doesn't matter how godly your mother and father they were or they are. Without Jesus Christ, no man in this earth is justified before God. That's why we cannot eliminate Jesus from the scripture. If we eliminate Jesus from the scriptures, then you are guilty, and I'm guilty.
It's how wonderful. David was a saved person. He understood how he had to stand before God. Was not his church the mediator? Was not the high priest the mediator? Was not Ahithophel the mediator? Was God. And my brother and my sister, how glad we are that God and his grace have given us the light and the wisdom to understand that in Jesus Christ we have peace with God. God of my righteousness. So he at the basis of his request is the work of God. He has saved David's life. Now, look at the faithfulness of God. Going back to Psalm 4, he says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." That word enlarge me is a funny word in Hebrew. It means to set you alarge, to give you room. To give you room. You know, when you give instruction as a teacher to somebody, you teach it from here to here, and then your expectation is wide open. The student can go down or can go up. Because if you narrow down, you damage the student. You give the student a large room. And that's what God says. Here is the law, but he gave you and me a large room to bounce. The faithfulness of God. He is faithful. The fact that you fail doesn't make God fail. See what I mean? The fact that we sin doesn't make God a sinner. See, he gave you a large room to repent and to recover. And so he said, "Lord, thank you. You have enlarged me. You have set me in a large room when I was in distress." Let me show you how he put that in Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1. In verse 2, these are words that you get to know your God. Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2. "I wait patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry." Look at verse 2 in Psalm 40. "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going." That is God's specialty. When you hit the bottom and you are God's children, he picks you up and you have no limit in how to go up. And that's how David, the basis of his request, first of all, is the work of God. You saved me. Secondly, the faithfulness of God. You're a faithful God. Because I failed, you do not fail. Because I did wrong, you are not wrong, and you don't cast me out. You just love me. It's like a father and mother to a child. Just like that. When I was in the drug rehabilitation center, there were a lot of kids that wanted to talk to me. There were people 12 years old there. And they wanted to sit down and talk to me. And the reason is their parents have not come to visit them, they said. And they feel lonesome. So I know I'm an ugly picture to my house, he said, one boy. Wow. That's horrible. But what a wonderful opportunity I have to tell him, yeah, but not to God. See, we're all ugly before God. Really? Yeah. Showing the scripture in Romans. We were all ugly. And God specializes in ugly to make beautiful people like me. I said to him, you know, I really encourage the little boy to look upon God. Because sometimes even the family give you away. How wonderful. God is faithful. And then the basis of his request is not only the work of God and the faithfulness of God, but the graciousness of God. In verse 1, look at how verse 1 in chapter 4, Psalm 4 ends. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." And look at what he says. "Look upon me. I'm David, the king." No, he said, "Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Have mercy upon me. What is mercy? It's God restraining to give us what we deserve. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. But mercy, God restrain from judging you. Now remember this for lifetime. God will never judge you, already judge you in Christ. He will discipline you. All right? He will discipline you. Discipline is different than the judgment. Judgment, you cast somebody out. But in discipline, you help somebody to go in the way. In professionalism and sports, discipline by the coach is if you don't do what I said, you don't play next Sunday. And if you don't play next Sunday, you don't get your money. Hey, hey, hey. Then you pay attention to it. Then if you're a goalie, you look to the side to see what flag is raised, to see how your coach wants you to play, not how you like to play. Well, God raised a flag already in the Bible. And this flag is all over the place. And the only thing you and I have to do is look to the Bible to see how we're going to play. Are you single and plan to get married? Look to the Bible. The flag is there. Don't date an unbeliever. I'm saying that because a lot of young people here, they are growing up 15, 16. At 15, 16, I was looking for girls, so maybe you too, you know. Depends on their chemistry. I guess Latin chemistry wakes up early. But this is what happened. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. There is a flag. There is a flag, and it's the Bible. And the Bible tells you how to really work in your life. You're going to do a big business. There is a flag. Here is the Bible. The Bible said you get your pencil and you figure out exactly how you start and how you end, so that you know as much as you can all the perspective. There is here. The mercies of God are grace. God is gracious. So the basis of his request, the work of God, he's saved. He's a saved person. God is faithful. In spite of mistakes, God set up a large room for him. And then he knows that he can request one thing from God. God, do not give me what I deserve. Please, God. Because if you give me what I deserve, I'm gone. So you can pray that way. Now comes the boldness. Comes the dog David, the king. Verses 2 to 6, the boldness in his request. Look at how he rebuked his enemies, his foes. Verse 2 and 3. O ye sons of men. That means, O ye sons of humanity, said the original. How long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity or emptiness and seek after leasing or illusions of falsehood? And some translate that false God. The original doesn't say false God, but unto falsehood. Philosophy is a falsehood, for example. How long will you do that? Illusions and falsehood. Verse 3. But now that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, the Lord will hear when I call him. See, he reminds these people that they are enemies. But the Lord will take care of his people. Now, how we do that today? How can we rebuke our enemies? Well, who is our enemy? Well, you maybe say, when I played soccer, the other team was my enemy. But that is not the enemy. You know who's our enemy? The Bible spelled that clear. It's Satan. This is our enemy. And he's everywhere, follows you all the time, flies over you. He tries to get you. What do we do with him? We rebuke him. How? Well, let's go to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, page 712. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 7, page 712. Look what the Bible says. Page 712, James 4, 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit, you know, means submit. No arguments. You know, when you submit, no arguments. God, whatever you said, done. All right? Submit yourself to God. And what the Bible says? Resist the devil. And, you know, I'm against those people who says that they can cast demons. I don't think, even though I saw one time do it, I don't think that we have no power over demons. But we can resist the head of the demons, the devil. See, our business is not to cast demons, is to resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? Well, let's go to Ephesians, go to the left, Ephesians 4, in verse 7, and look at what the scripture says. Ephesians 4 and verse 27, excuse me, Ephesians 4, 27. Neither give place to the devil. You who know the Bible know very well what is godly and what is ungodly. You have taken of the fruit of life. Remember Genesis 2? There was a fruit of life and the fruit and another fruit. And now that you have Christ Jesus, he's the fruit of life. And when you have the fruit of life, you know what is good and you know what is bad. You cannot say, oh, I don't know. You know. The Holy Spirit tells you in your heart that that is wrong. You don't need the law of the United States to tell you that to steal in a bank is bad. You know it in your heart. The Holy Spirit of God has put it there in your heart. These crooks who want to marry man with man and women with women, they know it wrong. But they are so evil that they want to do it anyway. And here's what the Bible says. You rebuke the enemy by not giving place to the enemy. That's very important. Don't give a place to the enemy. Don't give place to the enemy. If you give a place to the enemy, it's going to win. It's powerful. Don't give a place to the enemy. Don't try to gamble one quarter in a machine. Let's see what it is. I was in Las Vegas. I don't have any temptation to do that. And Camille can tell you. I could put a coin over there and see how high. No, because maybe that coin win and then I'm gone. So don't give place to the devil. It's just absolutely, you got the power, my brother. No excuses. We got the power. Don't give place to the devil. So David rebuked his foes, his enemies. Then going back to Psalm 4, David encouraged his friends. Look at what he says in verse 4 and 5. Stand in awe. Oh, this is what he said. In your anger, do not sin. That should be the line over there. In your anger, stand is an added word. Awe is a word for tremble. And so the best translation I can find in this, very hard to translate this section, is in your anger, do not sin. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Rejoice. Relax. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Offer yourself as a saved person into the world. And so let me break this apart. He encouraged his friends, number one, to be tough, but do not sin. How you do that? Well, the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 26, page 690, tell us how to do it. Ephesians 4, verse 26. All right. Look at what the Bible says. How can you be in anger and do not sin? The Bible says, be ye angry, Ephesians 4:26, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You can be in anger, but finishing everything up before 12 midnight, will you? Don't go to bed in anger, because tomorrow is resentment. So David encourage his friends. He said, now, you can be in anger that this happened, but don't let anger consume you. Just relax, put it down, get into a close. And then David said, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. You know, if you follow the word sacrifices in the Bible, there are many. But I want to show you one in Romans 12 and in verse 1, page 6680, in Romans 12, in verse 1, page 668, Here, God, there are many, many areas. Peter used the word sacrifice many times for us. And look at what the Bible says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice. Use your body as a living sacrifice to God. Use your body as a saved person. Dress your body as a saved person. Young ladies, dress like a saved person. So the world may not be attracted by the beauty of your body, but by the beauty of your heart. That is what is needed in America. When you marry, your husband enjoy your body. But meanwhile, may the one who be in love with you be in love with you, the real you, not with the outside you. That's very important. We have many girls in our church, and my heart burn with desire to cover them like this, that nobody will mislead them. But I can. God will do it. And you parents with a good teaching and with a good sense of correction will do it. Encourage his friends. Encourage his friends in a marvelous way in his prayer. He said, you can be angry. Yes, you can be upset about the situation, but don't let it go too far. When the night comes, let's have honey and olives together and an apple, as the Arabs do before bed, an apple, and that's it. Then he reminds his followers of God's power. Going back to Psalm 4 and verse 6, he said, there be many that say, Psalm 4, verse 6, who will show us any good? Is anything good in the world? And then he says, Lord, lift thou up thy light of thy countenance upon us. Many times I have prayed when I close the service with this. This is a recall of God in the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 24. First book of the Bible, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers. Chapter 6 and verse 24. Sorry, I don't have the page. Numbers 6, 24. In the blessing that God allowed Aaron to make for his people, Aaron was the high priest, he says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious upon thee. And now look at this in verse 26. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. When David prayed and said, Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, is saying, God, give us peace. Give us peace. He reminded the followers of God's power. God is the only one who can give you peace. And you can pray. You say, Lord, I'm in a tough situation. I'm in a decisive situation. I'm in an uncertain situation. Lord, I'm in a break in my life. I don't know what to do or where, how to do. Give us peace. Remind me in 1963-64 when I was teaching in my country in Argentina, and the country changed completely, and they pay you with a bonus. No money. And so I went to the dean of the university and said, what do I do with this? I have a wife and a daughter, just 1 year old, 1 year old. He said, well, it's good. 20 years from now, you can cash it 100% profit. Yeah? And how I get milk and bananas and chocolate? How do I get it? He said, well, you have to get another job. So I get another job because I have signed a contract with the university and I cannot resign. You're bound by law, even though they don't pay. And I have some of those papers, worthless papers. And that was my decision. I told Raquel, don't panic. I open my own office. And in God's mercy, I open my own office and we work harder, 5 o'clock in the morning to 12 midnight. But I have food on the table. But you know, I never lose my peace. I knew that God's going to do something. And then one day, I'm in a big construction, a church, a hospital, and a school, big, giant construction. And I was the director. I was the designer. And I was there. And a man came to me, put a hands on me, he said, how do you like to be in the United States of America? I said, oh, it's impossible. I just applied to the university, to the embassy, and said, you need a friend. My uncle lives in the United States of America. Well, who knows your uncle? Well, you were a soccer player. My uncle was a soccer player. You write to him. What? Adrian Franken, 1934 champion in the same team I play. And I wrote to him. And the rest is history. But I remember I don't get an answer for a year. And I start selling the furniture. And Raquel start panicking. We don't have furniture in the living room. We don't have this. We're going to the United States. But her family was saying, well, you just left only the bed and one table. We are going to the United States. Tremendous peace. And one time, I got the envelope for the United States Embassy. Here it is. You have to leave your country in 30 days. Amazing. I never lose my cool, like people said. Remind his followers of God's power. My brother and my sister, you are maybe under stress. Maybe you are under a shaking position. I want to remind you of nobody else but of God's power. He can make your life entirely different. If you pray with all your heart, God, I rely upon you. So here it is, the boldness of his request. He rebuked the enemy. He encouraged his friends not to lose their cool. And then he reminds them, hey, let's have peace together. So now he closes and he binds his request in verse 7 and in verse 8. Look at what he says in verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. David, why you say that? You know, you want to know why? In page 210 in the Bible, in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 16. 2 Samuel, chapter 16. Verse 1 and verse 2. Now picture this. David is running, and California and Jerusalem is the same. Hills and mountains and so on. And he's from cave to cave, hiding himself. And look at what the Bible says in 2 Samuel 16. He has about 5,000 people with him running away. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, you can see him rolling. Excuse me. Behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him. You know, Mephibosheth was a nephew of Saul. With a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisin, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by this? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. See, that's why he in the psalm, going back to the psalm, he said, thou hast put gladness in my heart. Here is in the midst of trouble, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of a pit that he's going to die by his own son, there comes out of the blue somebody who is a servant of someone that he saved his life, Mephibosheth, and then he said, hey, king, rejoice. I got all this food for you. Free of charge. No credit card. See, the season seems to me was the ingathering, in other words, the harvest. And David got plenty supplied by this friend. When he writes the Psalms, he is not impressed by the amount of supply. He's impressed by God. You notice? In Psalm 7, he said, thou hast put gladness in my heart. He doesn't say, oh, you put a lot of food in my table. He doesn't say that. He said, God, you put gladness in my heart. More than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. Lord, more than when I have my own farm, you have done something more for me, showing me that you are there. Isn't it nice when we see God in our way and in spite of our difficulties? He was impressed, not by the supply, but by the power of God. Out of the blue, he will get somebody he doesn't know, Ziba. And Ziba comes in and provides a tiny thing to show him that he's on the right track. So he concluded the psalm with security. He's secure in God. Look at verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I checked many manuscripts to see if it's a Selah, if it's a relax under it. It is not, but I will put one myself. Relax. He's secure in God. He is secure in God. God is taking care of him. Oh, he goes in a very difficult situation, but he knows God. He's at peace with God. He knows the God of his righteousness. He knows his enemies, and he gave no room to the enemy. My brother and my sister, do not give room to your enemy. Do not give room to your enemy. Don't do anything that you know is ungodly, please. That's your safety. So, what is God saying to us? Psalm 4, through David's prayer. Well, I got two translations for this, for the verse that I conclude is 1 Peter 5, verse 7. I think it speaks to us very clear in the New Testament. I got two translations for you and my own translation. Here it is. The King James translation and the New King James translated in this way, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The New International Version translated, cast all your anxiety, I don't think anxiety is the right word, on him because he cares for you. And I translated freehand in this way, like a teenager. Unload all of your burden on him, since he is concerned about you. Unload all your burden upon him, since he is concerned about you. Are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, that means that you can say, God of mine righteousness, you have justified me. You do not justify before God by doing something God has done. That we are celebrating in a few minutes the Lord's Supper. What do we celebrate? That Jesus Christ died, paid the price for my sin. He gave his blood, his life for me. And because he did it, God is not going to judge me when I have believed that. He judged Jesus for me. That's what that means. And so, if you're a child of God like that, I don't mean if you're a member of Protestant church or Catholic church. I don't mean that. I mean if you're a child of God, means that Christ has paid the price for you. And now you can pray, you can have the confidence, like Peter said, casting all your cares and loathing all your cares upon him, since God is concerned for you. You are a child of God. He's concerned for you. Somewhere, somehow, our difficulties are there. But somewhere, somehow, Ziba is coming in with the supply that we need for our life. May we be godly, seriously godly, that we do not provide for Satan to come in our life so that God can work in our life. Father, we pray at this hour that the beautiful reference of David to the light and the countenance of God be upon our life. We pray that you may bless us, each one of us. We pray that you may put your face to shine upon each one of us, and that your graciousness be upon our life. Lord, lift up your countenance and look upon us and heal us of what we need, because we pray in Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Still my end. Thine is my strength. What, dear friend, would ne'er depart in my hour of pain? Only Jesus, only Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ, the Prince of